This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
More bad news about the Delta variant. Scientists saying it's so contagious, the unprotected will likely get it. That's scientists and doctors. In the West, they're taking it pretty seriously as the masks went back up in Los Angeles. Not a lot of people happy about that. 80 large fires just consuming more than 1 million acres across the western parts of the U.S. Sad to see one of my favorite places, Lake Tahoe, going up in smoke. Hundreds forced to evacuate. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, I hope wherever you're listening to us, whether it's on these shores here in the great United States or off of our shores, that you're safe and sound wherever you are. Olympics could be in trouble, speaking of the Delta variant and COVID-19. Coco Gauff withdrew from the Tokyo Olympics after a positive COVID-19 test. If you don't know who she is, she's in the top 25 in the world for women tennis players, and she's a big part of, or was, a big part of Team USA. She was excited to compete at the Olympics at 17. She made the roster. Pretty heady stuff for her. And she talked about always dreaming to play in the Olympics, but it was not to be because she had to pull out of the game. So Sophie Kennan is the highest ranked American female tennis player at number 4, pulling out of Tokyo because of COVID-19. So you got all kinds of problems. Remember, Serena Williams confirmed she's not going to compete at the games. An injury knocked her out of Wimby. So I think not just the U.S., but other sports and other athletes are unfortunately going to come down with these positive tests, which means they won't be able to participate. I'm certainly not hoping that, fingers crossed, but the first COVID at the Olympic Village, paranoia is spreading like wildfire itself. So it's either going to really end up being a bust, or somehow the Olympics will roll on. They start on Friday. And somehow they'll finish them up. People will stand on podiums and people will win medals for their countries. There won't be any sort of an audience at all. But if there are too many that test positive, imagine the effect that will have. So let's talk about the variant spread and what I know about that and what I've seen. And I've read lots of different versions of this. You know, when I look at something, and here on the show, I always say, whether you're left of left or right of right or somewhere in between or no labels, you just want to know, you just want to have a conversation, you just want to have a rational conversation. It means you have to look at everything, and then you have to turn it upside down. And then ultimately, you have to decide what you believe sometimes, because there certainly is some incredibly accurate information out there that's factual, but there's a lot of misinformation out there as well. So when we look at this Delta and the fact that it's absolutely, we're seeing this in other countries, it's going to be the most serious virus that people get in their lifetime in terms of the risk of hospitalizations. This is from the former president's FDA chief. He says, you know, Dr. Scott Gottlieb was on Face the Nation on Sunday. He said most people will either get vaccinated or have previously been infected, or they'll get this variant. And for the people who get it, it's going to be the worst that they get in their lifetime in terms of risk of putting them in the hospital. And again, Gottlieb was the commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration during the Trump administration. So he went on to really flush this out and say, for those not fully vaccinated, quality of mask is going to make a difference with a variant that spreads more aggressively like Delta does, where people are more contagious and exude more of the virus. Now, where does all this come from? The research from the scientist part of it, because I said scientists and doctors, scientists examined 62 cases of the Delta variant, found viral loads of about 1,000 260 times higher than those found from the 63 cases from the early epidemic wave in 2020. So this is part of what they're basing it on. And it's also sending younger and previously pretty healthy people to the hospitals. The vast majority, though, have the common denominator of not being vaccinated. Now, having said that, I have a friend who used to work with me at NBC and worked with me at Fox, too, and he got tested. He tested positive for COVID-19, having to cough, the whole thing, and is vaccinated. He's in his early 40s, and he didn't have to be hospitalized, but quarantining himself and all of that. But, you know, pretty much put out the all call, hey, I was vaccinated. I was around a lot of people, though, and I wasn't masked. And woohoo, I was having a good time, and it turns out I tested positive for it. So, you know, and he fits into the category. I mean, the Delta variant attacking 40-year-olds, attacking and younger, you know, 20s, 30s, that kind of stuff. So the emphasis, I think, from the medical community certainly is to get vaccinated. That masks and mitigation, the only thing that's going to happen is, you know, vaccination. But there still are so many people, and you may be one of them listening to me, that just simply for various reasons, including maybe you've gotten sick from something that you've gotten in the past. But a new study came out that showed 20%, in this study anyway, 20% of Americans believe microchips are inside the COVID vaccines. So much has been out there churning around that COVID-19 is just a cover-up to track people using the vaccines, that there are people that believe in that conspiracy theory that they might have been planted. Now, this was a study by YouGov and The Economist that was conducted last week. Even though there's no evidence to support that claim, the poll concluded that 15% of Americans say the conspiracy theory is probably true. Another 5% say it is definitely true. Now, check out the age. That same poll concluded that 27% of the people aged 30 to 44 were also supporting this theory. 8% of Biden voters and 29% of Trump voters believe in the theory. 14% of Democratic voters, 32% of Republican voters, for what it's worth. But the theory is famous for being one of the lead conspiracies for COVID-19 misinformation while this whole pandemic has been going on. My two cents on all the conversations that I've had with so many people: No, forget the microchip. And if it turns out that, in fact, this is not a conspiracy theory, I'll walk naked to New Jersey. I'm so confident that is completely false content, right? Now, there are conspiracy theories that have circulated out there that turn out to have some ring of truth to them, but I don't believe that this is one of them for what it's worth. So while all that's happening in California, you've got the mask coming up again because of the amount of cases. Gavin Newsom said that is what has to happen now in these spots, whether you're outdoor dining, etc. It's masks up once again, and people in LA are not happy about it. Stick around, we got the mailbag next with all of your opinions.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Nothing says back to school like shopping for new book bags, laptops, outfits, and classroom essentials. Amazon makes shopping convenient for students, parents, and educators gearing up to head back to class. Customers can spend less and smile more when they shop Amazon's back to school and off to college storefronts this year, offering the widest selection, low prices, and free shipping on millions of items. Whether students are heading off to their first day of preschool or final semester of college, Amazon serves as a one-stop shop with everything customers need to get ready for school, including the latest fall fashions, dorm room decor, must-have supplies, and more. Plus, college students can sign up for a 6-month trial of Prime Student for access to the best of shopping and entertainment from Amazon, plus exclusive offers just for college students. Get your school list ready and start shopping today at Amazon.com/back to school and Amazon.com/off to college.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Indeed, let's dig in. We didn't have to dig too far to get the cream of the crop. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Let's go to this one from Christopher. He says, "Hi, Kate. I've listened to the show for the last couple of months. I'm here in West Virginia. I think you have ties to West Virginia. You went to school maybe in Athens and had a relative that went to West Virginia. Well, anyway, so I was a Mountaineer. I just wanted you to know that. Here's what's so interesting is this, the Delta variant and now what's happening. I was a person who was on the fence about the vaccine just because I didn't like the fact that it was the rush to market. I wasn't so certain that it would agree with me, although my family was all vaccinated. And then I jumped over to the other side and got the Pfizer vaccine. Now I'm glad as hell that I got it because I look around and I see what's going on with Delta, and I would be worried if I wasn't vaccinated. I think people really need to take a better look at this and look at the information and decide for themselves if it's right. But ultimately, I would not want to get the variant that's happening now, because I think it is the one thing that could rock a lot of people into the hospital, especially younger people who won't be able to breathe, could be put on that ventilator, and who knows whether they make it out or not. And we saw too much of that the first time around, and it wasn't that variant. So why even take the chance, especially if you feel like you're pretty healthy and whatever you're worried about with the side effects, shake them off, because for the most part, most of the side effects haven't been bad. If I was a pregnant woman and I was young, I wouldn't want to get it. That would be my lone exception to getting the vaccine, just for what it's worth. I thought I'd throw that in. Yep, I'm right there with you. If you're pregnant and young, absolutely, I would be concerned. And I don't know, I'd be the same way. Just isolate and not vax, and then wait till afterwards, because it's too murky for me, and there was too many things that happened to women that fell into that category, I think. But otherwise, I mean, how many people have had horrible side effects? Definitely a few. And I had one friend who had some bad side effects. But everybody else I know, maybe a sore arm, a couple of chills, maybe some chills with a little bit of headaches for one day, had a call off for half a day. But that was it. I mean, none of these horrible things that some people certainly had happen. But when you take the amount of people times the vaccine, it's, you know, I know it's different and there's been some comparisons made to this, but I think, what if when polio, it was like a miracle when the polio vac came out. What if I had kids and I had the chance to get them vaccinated and I didn't do it? I mean, you know, how huge that was and how many people. Have you ever met anyone that had polio and what it did to them? Yeah, I think that now, especially in looking at this variant and watching what's happening and just keep watching, paying attention. Look at what's happening to the people around you. Look at those circles. Look at your neighborhood. Look at what's going on with your own eyes and make that decision. But I think it's scary seeing what's going on with this breakoff, one that's the most serious virus, right? I mean, the last thing we want to do is be back in that situation where it's complete lockdown. We saw what happened to the economy, and there's still businesses that can't bounce back. There's still families that can't bounce back. People have struggled. While some businesses soared, others completely petered out, right? I mean, thank goodness for great communities that were tight-knit, that supported their local restaurants and did the curbside thing and are still doing that. And, yeah, it's just, you know, crazy. All right, this one is from Shell, who says, Kate, I was listening to you the other night in Los Angeles, and you were talking about the fires, and it is exactly what you said, and we know it happens. It is like a tinderbox, depending on where you are and what particular time. But while there are parts of the southeast and the northeast and even a little tiny bit of what some consider the southwest getting hit with crazy amounts of rain, we would love to see rain in California. We would love to see an incredible amount of rain dropped on California from tip to tip. I mean, it's insane what happens each and every year. It seems like it gets more like a furnace than you can imagine. And I feel for these firefighters. When I was young, I used to be a volunteer firefighter. And, boy, they look exhausted to me when you see them. And especially a really bad one is near the California-Nevada border. I don't know if you heard of that. The Tamarack Fire is what they're calling it. And it just is getting not a lot of attention, but it's just spreading. And I don't think they have any containment with that whatsoever. And, of course, Lake Tahoe, as you are well aware, so many people had to be evacuated from Tahoe because it was just that bad that it was too close to so many of those areas, not just where people were living in homes and their own communities, but where people were vacationing. So lots of people were displaced in Tahoe. And I know that there are other parts of, you know, the Northwest that are getting it further up from us. So it's pretty bad. And even Montana, I heard, has a really horrible, horrible fire. So pray for the firefighters because, boy, oh, boy, they can only get so much relief. And they have to be, like I said, and you can see it when they show their faces. They're just completely exhausted. Yeah, and Montana, thank you for that. They say that it's 103 degrees or something, and in parts of Idaho and that excessive heat warning and heat advisory and all of that, it's just, they call it red flag. I mean, critical fire conditions that are happening or will shortly happen. So, yeah, it's, you know, pick your place on the map, open up a map, and we can show you where some of those fires are burning. And it's how contained is it? And then, of course, it's really about human life. I mean, how many people were evacuated in time, because that's what it's about. It's getting people out. Like Tahoe, it exploded so fast. Just people had to flee immediately. I mean, it was critical, and they say it's going to be critical conditions through Monday. So when you see a roaring fire, when they know it just flew up, is how they described it. That's it. You're done. There's no running back to go grab something, whatever. No, to the place where you're staying or the place where you live, you're just out. You see those smoke clouds, and you just know. I mean, that Tamarack fire that he mentioned in Nevada, there's like 500 firefighters there. And the warm temperatures, that low humidity, the strong winds, it's the same thing that we keep telling you, the conditions. But, it's awful. In fact, there was another fire near Paradise, California. And they're trying to protect property and evacuated some people and that kind of stuff. And the fire was so huge that a bike race called the Death Ride couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. They had to call it off. They had to cancel it. They're like, even though we're a little bit close to it, yeah, can't do it. Because they knew this thing is scorching everything in its path. So you can't have a bunch of bicyclists saying, well, it's just a couple, it's a little bit over from that. No, because it's burning right through where they would have been riding. Yeah, you know? And it's that moisture. They desperately need rain. And meteorologists will say it, that if you get lightning, if there's lightning, that's possible, and they're saying there is lightning possible on Monday in California and southern Oregon, then that just feeds it. Just feeds right into it and makes it, it makes it worse. All right, how about this one quickly? I'm going to throw this one in from Doug. Doug says, Kate, I just did my taxes not too long ago. I wanted to make sure to clarify for any of your listeners who are in this position, unemployment benefits were tax-free in 2020, but in 2021, it's not that way. So because of the rescue plan, that helped us for anybody who suddenly lost their job, but it's not going to be that way the next time around. I think some people are kind of confused about that. And so a lot of people that might get a tax refund this year because of what changed won't get it the next time around. It's the worst thing when you get a trap kind of sprung on you. So I'm just throwing that out there for anybody who might be in a similar situation. All right. Very good. Right. So if you're collecting jobless benefits and you're living paycheck to paycheck, so parting with some of that income might not be so easy. All that is all mixed into the confusion, I think, for some people between 2020 and 2021. Meet you on the flip side.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Search and rescue efforts continue in Belgium and Western Germany as crews continue to look for people missing after last week's severe flooding. The death toll rose to at least 183 people on Sunday, with many of those in Germany. More than 250 people are still reported missing in the two countries. Thousands of homes are without power, and Belgian authorities say that about 30,000 homes are without access to clean drinking water. Record rainfalls last week caused several rivers in the region to overflow, causing the massive flooding. And Michigan's Mackinac Bridge was closed for several hours on Sunday because of a bomb threat. Police closed the bridge linking the upper and lower peninsulas of the state after receiving the threat. An extensive search found nothing, and the bridge was reopened for traffic about 3 hours later. The Mackinac Bridge is the longest suspension bridge in the Western Hemisphere. You're listening to USA Radio News. Officials say the largest wildfire currently burning in the country is now about the size of Los Angeles. Jeremy Scott reports.
The bootleg fire burning in southern Oregon is the largest wildfire in the U.S. It's just north of the California border and has scorched more than 476 square miles, an area about the size of Los Angeles. The fire has burned at least 67 homes and 100 outbuildings. Thousands more are threatened. Containment of the fire now at 22%. One of dozens of major wildfires burning across the West. Forecasters warning of dangerous fire weather through Monday in California and southern Oregon.
And tennis star Coco Gauff becomes the latest athlete to pull out of the Tokyo Olympics. Gauff tweeting on Sunday that she tested positive for COVID and would be forced to miss the games. Another two South African soccer players have tested positive in the Olympic Village, and six British athletes are quarantining after being identified as close contacts of another individual who had tested positive. This is USA Radio News.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
And we're back here on the show. Kate Delaney. Reminds me of when I did Late Night, the Central Coast of California, the smooth vibes of jazz in the background. Anyway, hey, everybody. Like I said at the top, boy, we swing into yet another weekend in July in the middle of summer with a lot of things happening. What's happening here is This or That. Eric Salazar joins us for that. What's going on, King?
Not much. Just had some bean dip, so feeling good.
Bean dip. Okay, so what'd you eat the bean dip with?
Fritos.
Fritos and bean dip. What a combination.
Yeah, just original. The best.
Ah.
Healthy food.
That's right, healthy food. I love it. So this would kind of go with the bean dip and the Fritos. Foam or no foam for This or That, meaning the beer. Do you like a lot of foam in the beer, or do you want them to really tilt the glass so you have hardly any foam at the top?
I'd rather take the foam. I like the foam. Not too much, but yeah, I'd rather have the foam.
All right, so I'd rather not have the foam. Because I want more beer. Give me the beer. And plus, I put olives in my beer, so they're going to float to the top anyway. And if it's a little, you know, they call it the head of the beer. It's really what it is. If it's a little bit, that's okay. I sometimes see bartenders pour beer, and it seems like 50% of it is the foam. Is the head of the beer.
Yeah, maybe it's the kid in me that I just like to, like, inhale the foam and get some on my mustache. And it just tastes kind of, it's a different flavor, you know?
Yeah, when you taste the foam. I get it. And maybe it's because I put the, from the biker bar that I went to that one time that I saw them in California putting the olives in, and I love what that does to the beer. It makes it, there's that salt from the olives. It does something to it. So I want to get to that. So that's probably part of my reasoning, too. Okay, so we differ on that. I like that. Foam or no foam? Here's a good one for you. This or that, you have to do one or the other. Which would you choose? Comedy stand-up, do a stand-up routine, or public speaking?
Man, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to go with the comedy stand-up because if they're going to laugh either way, right? So at least they'll laugh at me when they're supposed to, I guess.
No. Wow. So you have to go do stand-up. You have to promise me and have someone actually take some footage of it. If you do, they have open mic nights all over the place. You find an open mic night and you go and do it. They don't have to laugh unless you have friends in the audience. So if you go and do it, if you plant a lot of friends in the audience to make you feel better, then maybe that could do it for you. But usually when you do stand-up, I mean, you could bomb. You could get up there and you could think you're so funny, and you have this you know, 3 minutes, 4 minute routine, plus then they're flashing the light in your eyes if you bleed over and you do too much, so you're like, might be worried about the timing. And I did stand up. I did it a couple times to see if I could do it, and it was scary. It was tough. It was tough. And what was really strange is the first time I did it, I crushed it. Because the jokes just landed. I mean, I had jokes that completely landed. But
did you write them yourself?
I wrote them myself, yeah. I wrote the jokes myself. I memorized the little, you know, I memorized the set. I went over it with the hubs, my nephew, some other people. I just ran them by them, didn't see what kind of reaction I would get. And I did it, and it landed, and it worked. And they were timely, the jokes that I told. They fit for, was before Christmas time, and it fit. And even afterwards, like, talk about, is this a compliment or not? Two young guys came around to me. Oh, you were so funny. You should be like a mom on a sitcom.
That's a compliment.
I'm saying, all right, okay, guys, that's fine. And then you get this confidence. I'm just telling everyone listening. I think everyone should have this experience, though. Everyone. I'm not kidding you. The second time I went, oh, my gosh, it was so difficult. It was so, I thought I had written these great jokes, and then I, just in case, I had some really stupid cornball-y jokes that I thought were, that I didn't think were funny. And the cornball-y stupid ones worked, and the ones that I really put some time into bombed.
Can't mess around like that.
No, can't mess around, man. You just got to know. You got to know that audience. So that's a good this or that for people listening, public speaking or stand-up. The stand-up at least, too, could, especially if it was doing the open mic night, it would be shorter. Public, so I agree with you there. Public speaking, you know, if you do a speech, which I am a speaker, you could have speeches that are like an hour or an hour and a half. So you got to fill serious time.
So would you say public speaking is easier then, for the most part?
No, I think it's equally, depending on the stage, it's equally as daunting, depending on the audience. It's the same thing, the audience. How are they receiving you, right? Like, because there you got to tell a little bit of a joke. I think you got to be a little bit light usually, unless it's something seriously heavy. But even if it's heavy, you need to tell a little joke, right? So same thing. It can be really scary. All right, something to think about for everybody listening. You know, now sweat is probably pouring down everyone's brows while they're half asleep. Glasses or no glasses, this or that. Would, if you have, you know, if you start to have eye problems, or maybe you do already, do you have any trepidation about wearing glasses?
I got LASIK like 5 years ago, so I'm done with glasses.
So you used to have them?
Yeah, and I hated them.
Because they were a pain, because you didn't like the way you looked in them, because of all sorts of reasons?
No, they were a pain. Like, it made life harder, just in general, like, almost in every way possible. Like, if I wanted to work on my car, or, like, I had to, like, always push up my glasses, or they would get dirty, or if I lost them, I was screwed. And I used to be a truck driver, you know, so like.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I would lose them a lot because I would party a lot, so.
Where's my glasses? I can't see. Oh, yeah, you did the right thing by getting LASIK. That's great. There's, you know, here's the thing with glasses. You're right. You make a good point. Glasses do get in the way. Depending on the job you have or something you're trying to do, or if they get, you know, now people with the, when we were in the middle of the pandemic in the beginning and they had to wear the mask, you can't see, the glasses are filling up because of your breath that's behind the mask. I mean, it was really happening to people. So glasses versus no glasses. I have contacts, and of course I have glasses I can wear, but it's the same thing. I'm so not used to them that if I'm doing certain things, they're all over my head and I can't find them. And yeah, so I'm right there.
So yeah, we agree then, huh?
Yeah, we agree. Absolutely, we agree on that one. So we just went through Shark Week, and oh, some of those. At first, I hated Shark Week. I thought it was so sophomoric, and I even banged it on the air saying, "What is going on with Shark Week? What are they thinking?" We have it, they had the whole Jackass theme, and they were doing all these comedy bits. Speaking of comedy, that I get slapstick humor, but it wasn't funny. Most of it wasn't funny. And then I realized, oh, well, they have a whole bunch of other things they're showing. And they had these people with their encounters with being attacked by a shark. And it made me think about this. So if you're swimming or snorkeling or unfortunately just in some place where, you know, a shark catches your attention, they see you and they go after you. You may have people around you, hopefully. Do you scream and panic, or do you fight? I mean, do you just fight and punch him in the nose or gouge out his eye?
Yeah, it'd be like, let me have a piece of that shark.
You know? Let me have this or that. Let me have a piece of you. I'll tell you what, after watching Shark Week, oh, I'm a fighter too. Because what good is screaming going to do? People might see you, but that shark is so fast. And I don't care what size it is. You got to punch it in the nose and you got to gouge the eye.
That seems hard to do.
It seems hard to do. Oh my gosh, a shark is after me. What do I do? But all the encounters, there were women, young women, older women, young guys, older guys, and all, even if they were experienced, they all, that was the common denominator. The ones that, especially the ones that got really lucky and didn't get injured at all, like they were on boards, a paddleboard attack and all that, they smashed them as hard as they could in the nose and got lucky and they let go. The shark let go and took off.
Yeah, honestly, that probably wouldn't happen with me, but...
I'm hanging on. I'm not letting this guy go. He had LASIK. I'm not letting him go. No way.
I can see everything.
Oh, it's just scary to think about. And I think it's just a reminder for everyone. I mean, look, sharks have a place in the oceans of the world. There's no doubt about it. And you're in their territory. But just don't go alone. Like, don't go snorkeling alone. I don't know why people do that. Just let me grab my gear. I'm here in Hawaii. Let me just go for a snorkel.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense at all. All right, so, you know, now it's weird. People are really, and maybe because we're back to restaurants a little bit, appetizers. If you sit down and they say, oh, do you want an appetizer? And they have these incredible appetizers, and you have a chance for, like, fried pickles or nachos, which, this or that, which do you choose?
I got to go with the nachos.
Yeah, but hopefully they're good. Sometimes nachos can give you heartburn.
Yeah, they're hit and miss, hit or miss.
Hit and miss. Yeah, definitely. Now, if it's New Mexico and it's blue corn tortillas and it's that kind of nachos, I'm in 100%.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
Anything in New Mexico, any of their New Mexican cuisine, their nachos, their stuff, absolutely you can't go wrong at all. All right, Eric Salazar, Sir Eric, thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Hang with us. Hi, I'm Kate Delaney. We have Ashley Cantano with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Around an author's corner, wow, we're taking you to one of my favorite places on the face of the earth, seriously, Cork, Ireland, and you all know I've taken the show there, so what a pleasure to welcome Marion Heffernan to the show. She's written a couple of books about this exciting mouse and the mouse's adventures, and this particular one we're going to talk about is Mouse's Great Adventure. Marion, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks very much for having me.
So tell me about your adventure to writing these books. Did you ever think you were going to write children's books?
No. No, never. It was something completely out of the blue. I can describe it as when you hum a tune that you haven't heard for some time. It sounds a little bit familiar, but it keeps playing on in your mind and you keep humming it, singing it. Same sort of thing happened with the little mouse. I suddenly started to think about this verse about a mouse, and I thought, where's this come from? I mean, at my age, I was, you know, late 60s, where was this coming from? You know, I wasn't reading that kind of material, as you can understand, and I tried to ignore it initially, and I thought, oh, what's that about? And then it started to sort of play on my mind, and I thought, oh, I'll try and write the third line, but then I forgot the first line, and so on and so forth, and then I decided just to open up a file on the computer and type away, and it just literally grew. I saw it like Topsy Road. It just carried on, and I enjoyed the process. It was just good fun, because really, initially, the first story was very much led by the rhyming words themselves, you know, that I would come across, say, for example, in Mouse's Great Adventure. Mouse was walking along the road, And what rhymes with rose? Well, bows, mode, toes. Oh, yes, all right, he met a toe. So, literally how the story grew. When I got to the second story, it was a little bit more designed. You know, I knew what I was wanting to write about, and that then led the words. But the first story was very much more ad hoc, I would say. You know, it happened. It just kind of happened. But never thought I was going to publish. Never thought I was going to write a book. I just enjoyed the process. And I got to story number 5 before I thought, I wonder if anybody would want to read these. And I thought, you know, I quite enjoy them. Probably would. But I decided to go then and start on the adventure, shall we say, of trying to get a book published and all that that involves. But no, up to that point, not even a notion.
So tell us about the character. Tell us about Mouse. What is Mouse like?
Mouse, he's a cheeky little chappy, a little brown mouse, just the average little mouse you would see running around the outside in the yard. So I think you can relate to him. He's something you would see, you know, only, of course, this little mouse has much deeper thoughts. You know, he's more like a little child, you know, would have children's thoughts and that kind of thing. So that he's a cross between, if you like, human thoughts and little mouse. But other than that, he's cheeky little chappy and loves to go everywhere. And after the first adventure, he has no problem. He sets off. And the type of adventures that he goes on are sort of the kinds of things that you and I could do or the children could do. You know, that it's not something outrageous. It's something that the reader can relate to, you know. And, that's basically him. He's just cheeky little chappy.
What a cheeky little chap. I love that. What do you hope kids take away from reading Mouse's Great Adventure? What's the message there? What do you hope they take away?
I think reading is fun. I think reading should be fun. I think children should want to open a book. If they've never opened one before, it should be exciting to look at. It should be colourful, especially for the very early readers. They want colour, they want shapes. They want pictures, perhaps like animals and things like that. Something they can look at and, ooh, what's that? And ask questions. I think the book should take them on their own personal adventure. And they should want to open a book. And I think the more exciting it can be, the more opportunity they will have for opening the book, even copying the words or trying to, you know, draw the pictures themselves or making up their own stories. The kind of thing to see children when they're sitting cross-legged on the floor, and they don't think anybody's watching, and they can't actually read it because they haven't quite got that to that stage. And you can see them turning the pages and their mouths going, and they're obviously making up their own little stories. And that's great too. If a book does that, then it's kind of achieved its aim as far as I'm concerned, you know.
Yeah, what's been the reaction to the people around you to the fact that, hey, wow, what's going on with Marion? She's a children's author now, and she keeps writing about this mouse. What's happening here? I mean, come on, I've been in Ireland. I know people are talking about your books. You're probably a local celebrity.
I think initially it was. You know, I think people have looked at me as if to say, where's that come from? And now, there's a lot of goodwill, really, and good luck, you know, sort of, well, I hope it does well for you, and good luck, you know, and sort of they were enjoying it, some people were buying it for the children, which is lovely, and, you know, it was very, very nice. I got a local newspaper, did a bit of an article, that was nice, too. So, you know, it's very, very slow. We've had COVID, which has slowed everything down. Everything in Ireland ground to a halt for the better part of a year. But it's nice to see people, you know, picking up the book and still reading it and enjoying it. And sometimes I'll go to a house and the book is sitting there, you know. And even my great-grandson, dare I say that, he came home from his school last year. And it's just his first school, very first school. And school reader book, the official school reader book, was Mouse's Great Adventure. So it was kind of like, wow moment, you know, really, your eyes swivel and you think, really? You know, you can't quite believe it. You have to pinch yourself to see whether this is right, you know.
I love that story. I'm glad you shared that with us. So for people listening out there, it is a great gift, especially, like I said, wrap a couple of them up for sure. Mouse's Great Adventure. Just terrific stuff. Marion Heffernan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate. It's lovely to speak to you. Thanks very much indeed.
And, of course, you can get all those books on Amazon. And, boy, next time I go to Cork, I'm going to look Marion up because she's a celebrity. So I'll just have to say her name, and I'm sure they'll point me in the right direction.
Thanks very much indeed. You're welcome. Thanks a lot. Take care, Kate.
All right, so Cork is an interesting place. That's the times that I've been to Ireland. I've been through Cork twice. Once I spent more time the second time around. I didn't have quite as much time there, but regardless if you have ancestors there or not, if you do get a chance to go to Ireland, it's the second largest city there. It's in the southwest of Ireland. And it's got a population just over 200,000. It may be a little bit more than that, excuse me, now. But it is definitely worth visiting. You know, you get a real feel for Ireland, I think. And, of course, the Blarney Stone is near there because Blarney Castle is nearby. So it's a good place to base yourself. And I did go to Blarney Castle. And I did kiss the Blarney Stone and was shocked about how you had to do that. I don't want to really spoil it for everybody, but the castle itself and the grounds are incredible. So it wasn't what I expected at all. It was, yeah, I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't what I expected. And you climb up all through the castle and it's very, very cool and the grounds are amazing. I mean, just absolutely breathtaking to see the grounds of a Blarney Castle, almost any castle, a full-on castle there is pretty incredible. And you see lots of ruins of them, etc. But that one was just really, and that opportunity just really blew me away. And so it was interesting to talk to her and listen to her talk about the fact that there she was, a children's author, not thinking she was going to be it. And I love talking to these high-impact authors because, to me, they do have a high impact because everybody has a story. I guarantee people listening to me right now have been told by somebody, you should write that book, you should do that story. And for some reason, you know, we run out of time, we don't get around to it or whatever. So to me, it's fascinating to see what leads somebody down the path of actually doing it and then what the reaction to it is. The reaction to the music being played means I got to get off this stage. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.